Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for April 26th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with CJ Liu about new research on a growth factor that prevents and even reverses the symptoms of inflammatory arthritis. The most common form of arthritis is osteoarthritis, which is caused by the gradual degeneration of joint cartilage over time. In contrast, inflammatory or rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic inflammatory disease that affects the whole body, but it has particularly pronounced effects in the joints between the small bones of the hands and feet, where it causes the lining of the joints to swell. Rheumatoid arthritis is not only painful, it can also result in bone erosion, joint deformities, and substantial loss of mobility. In a paper published in the current issue of Science, Liu's team reports that a growth factor called progranulin competes with an inflammatory cytokine for binding to its receptor and can reduce the progression or even reverse the symptoms of inflammatory arthritis. Dr. Liu spoke to me on the phone from his lab at the New York University School of Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Liu. Thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you, Annalisa. Thanks for the opportunity.
The current study is about a growth factor called progranulin. What is progranulin and what sorts of biological processes does it affect?
Progranulin, also called granulin epithelial precursor, proepithelial, and PC cell derived growth factor. It is an outcry growth factor. This growth factor is composed of 7.5 highly conserved cysteine rich granulin repeat. That's why this growth factor is unique and does not belong to any known growth factor family. Progranulin has been known to play an important role in a number of physiological and disease processes, such as development, tissue repair, wound healing, inflammation, arthritis, and tumor genesis. Mutation of this gene has been linked to some neurodegeneration disease, such as dementia.
What are the receptors for this growth factor?
This growth factor has been known for more than 20 years and play an important role in cell biology, as I just mentioned. However, its functional receptors still remain unknown. Now, actually, you know, we use a global genetic screen. We're excited to find that progranulin binding to a well-known cytokine receptor, TNF receptor. At the beginning, we were surprised. How could a growth factor bind into a well-known cytokine receptor? But later on, a large number of experiments we did, and this make a lot of sense. So now we know, actually, TNF receptor actually has two ligands. One is TNF-alpha, which has been known for many years. And the second one is progranulin growth factor. So that's why we think that progranulin compete with TNF-alpha for binding to the same TNF-alpha receptor, and it is conceivable that progranulin may function as a naturally occurring antagonist of TNF-alpha and inhibit TNF-alpha-mediated signaling pathway. In addition to this, our data also show that progranulin can active a different signaling pathway. So now the interesting question is, why progranulin and TNF-alpha, they bind to the same TNF-alpha receptor, but active different signaling pathway. So now we are working on this and try to figure out the molecule mechanism involved.
So you mentioned that progranulin antagonizes TNF-alpha signaling through the TNF receptor.
Right.
Was that shown only in vitro, or does progranulin also antagonize TNF-alpha signaling in vivo as well?
Our data show that progranulin antagonize TNF activity both in vitro, in the cell-based assay, and also in several animal models.
And so then you knocked out the gene that encodes progranulin in mice. What's the phenotype of those mice?
The progranulin knockout mouse were generated by Dr. Ehol Ding's lab at Cornell University, and she provided those mice for our study. That's why I try to make clear the mice were not generated in my lab. And so let me back to your question, what's the phenotype of this mouse? Progranulin knockout mouse, overall, they are normal, so no clear phenotype, and mouse look very happy. And however, according to a recent publication from Dr. Ding's lab, they show that programming the knockout mouse may have some behavior defect and a learning problem when they're getting old.
So these mice look phenotypically normal,
right.
But you were interested in studying inflammatory arthritis.
Right.
What happens when you induce inflammatory arthritis in the progranulin knockout mice?
So, and when we challenge the mouse, both wild type and progranulin knockout mouse with type 2 collagen, which is widely used for induced inflammatory arthritis, we see enhanced inflammation and early onset of inflammation and more severe results. And in the white mouse, only roughly 40 mouse get inflammation. But for the progranulin knockout mouse, we see 100% mouse get inflammation. It significantly increased the arthritis incidence in addition to the arthritis severity.
The collagen-induced arthritis appears sooner and in a higher proportion of animals when you do that in the progranulin knockout mouse.
Right.
Can you use progranulin to alleviate the symptoms of inflammatory arthritis?
So this is an excellent point. We did exactly the experiment. And in the progranulin deficient mouse, we see the enhanced earlier inflammation. Once we inject the recombinant protein, we put this granulin back, and we can completely restore the mouse to the wild type, and even better than wild type. This looks like it's a dose-dependent effect.
So treating the mice that have inflammatory arthritis with progranulin can not only reduce the symptoms of arthritis, it can also reverse some of the damage?
Right. And some mice look like normal somehow, yeah.
Is it a permanent cure, or do you have to keep administering the growth factor?
So actually, you have to frequently inject this growth factor. If you double treatment, and the inflammation will get back. That's just like a human being, and that depends on, you know, the half-life, how stable of this protein. And we actually, at the beginning, we inject this progranulin twice every week.
How equivalent are these mouse models of inflammatory arthritis to rheumatoid arthritis in humans? And is it likely that you could use these results to translate progranulin into a treatment for rheumatoid arthritis in human patients?
Because those models, especially the CIE model, TNF-alpha transgenic model, are widely used for the rheumatoid arthritis. All the new drugs, before they get approved for the clinical trial, they must test with one of these two models, either CIE model or TNF-alpha transgenic model, depending on what kind of molecules you have. And the result got from those animal models can be translated into the human rheumatoid arthritis patients. So it is well known that TNF-alpha is the master regulator of inflammation. And blocking TNF-alpha pathway has been proved to be very effective in the clinic for treating autoimmune disease, including rheumatoid arthritis. For example, current TNF-alpha inhibitors such as Remicade, Humira, Enbrel, they are very successful for treating rheumatoid arthritis.
What does treating with progranulin potentially offer that's different from those other drugs that inhibit TNF-alpha signaling that are already available?
The current TNF-alpha inhibitors, such as Remicade and Enbrel, they work very well for some patients. However, they don't work for all patients. Up to 50% of patients do not respond to current TNF-alpha treatment. In addition, current TNF-alpha has some side effect. For instance, they increase the infection, like a TB infection, and also increase cancer risk. And finally, they are very expensive because they are produced in mammalian cells. Each patient, it costs each year roughly $20,000. Compared to the current TNF-alpha inhibit, progranulin and progranulin-derived peptide has some clearly advantage. First, based on our preclinical animal model, our molecule look like it's better than the current TNF-alpha inhibit. They show more effective, and also they are produced in bacteria, and theoretically should be cost-effective. And most importantly, our current TNF-alpha inhibit binding to the TNF-alpha ligand. However, progranulin and progranulin-derived peptide does not bind to the TNF-alpha ligand. It binds to the TNF-alpha receptor, which is important because this unique mechanism So those molecules may also work for the patients who don't respond to the current TNF-alpha treatment. That's why we provide an alternative treatment for those patients.
TNF-alpha is at the very top of the inflammatory cascade. So is it possible that using progranulin or the synthetic peptide that mimics progranulin could be potentially useful for treating other sorts of inflammatory diseases that are mediated by TNF-alpha signaling?
So you're absolutely right. It has been known that TNF-alpha associated with more than 40 kind of immune diseases. So in addition to rheumatoid arthritis, TNF-alpha inhibitors have been used for treating other autoimmune diseases, such as inflammatory bowel disease, ankylosing spondylitis, psoriasis, osteoporosis, and so on. So actually, we are currently testing our molecules with different disease animal models. Theoretically, our molecules should also work for other TNF-alpha-associated pathology and disease.
Thank you, Dr. Liu, for speaking with me.
Thank you, Annalisa. I appreciate it.
That was C.J. Liu, senior author of a research report published in the April 22nd issue of Science. That paper's by Tang and colleagues, and it's titled, "The Growth Factor Progranulin Binds to TNF Receptors and is Therapeutic Against Inflammatory Arthritis in Mice." And that concludes the Science Signaling Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.